Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
See this, Hardy? What So does now every Thursday at noon? It cues up the video. At least you're not hiding it from me this week. Last week you were trying to hide it from me, like I didn't know what you were doing.
He turned his monitor off by mistake.
There it is.
Why don't you sync it up?
Hold on.
Restart the song, Tom. Hold on.
He wants you to restart. So he.
Oh my God! It froze again.
You're giving into this crap.
It froze again.
You're giving in.
I can't do it. Play it.
What is happening?
There you go. Thank you. It's off again.
Okay.
Here we go.
Noontime hour on a Thursday.
It's such a bad video. It's got to be... What's the other video we talked about? Was it Billy Squire Hardy? The weird one?
No idea.
Billy Squire, he's on the bed and he's like got his shirt off.
Oh, that's
Am I thinking the right one?
Rock You Tonight, I think it's called.
Yeah. Like that was really bad. This is up there, top two.
Michael is in Quincy on the Masters. Hey Michael.
Here we go.
Hardy, I feel your pain. I'm a season ticket holder for the Patriots. 30 years, 8 Super Bowls. Donut. Never won tickets in the raffle, so I know how you feel. Ooh,
what, so hold on.
Wait,
stop,
you haven't
stop,
gotten
stop,
tickets
stop,
to a
stop,
single no. one of them yet?
Not you got. I,
oh, for
I'm
8?
You guys don't look more in this, yeah. This is the deal. All the seats, when you go on, if you're I call myself a regular season ticket holder. I'm down in 127. I have 10 seats. I've had them for 30 years.
Oh, my God! And you've never...
And I've never won... Never. And you know what they do right after, Hardy? You probably know this pain. Right after you go on the computer and they say you haven't won, you haven't been selected. They send you to a link that is connected to a travel company that obviously they have tickets, and we've never won. Yeah, Zoe, especially you, Zoe, because I know I've met you a couple times. Once at a Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, nice.
I've never won.
What was your first season having season tickets?
1991. Before
my rookie year.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I was before Parcells.
So your first three seasons as a season ticket holder were 6-10. 2-14 and 5-11, and you were crazy enough to buy season tickets following a 1-15 season.
And not only a pair, 10.
And
five pairs.
And you've got 10 of them.
Oh. I've got 10 of them. I got 10 of them.
Have you asked the team?
Here's the best part. This is the best part. I'm an attorney, so I always look at these things and I want to know. I want to get answers. And if I've asked them numerous times to just tell me, what are my chances? Just tell me what my chances are. Because, quite frankly, they won't tell you. Because the regular season ticket holders, they don't tell you what are your chances.
I'll tell you, your chances are less than 1 in 10. I can tell you that much.
Well, I can tell you, I'd be shocked if they put more than 20 tickets into. I've never heard that. This is a big thing. I've never talked.
Yeah, see, if you took those 10 and packaged them into getting 4 club seats, you'd be able to get 2 Super Bowl tickets per 4.
But, so, you know what? I'm not that. I'm not that type of a fan.
That's not what you want.
You're a real fan.
I sit out in the cold. I don't go in and I don't show. I show up in the third quarter.
Oh,
right,
this is heartbreaking.
Halftime.
This is heartbreaking.
So, yeah,
that's so much worse than Hardy's thing.
I feel your pain, brother.
Yours is worse.
Yours is so much worse, Michael. Thanks for the call. That is worse. That he's got something invested, a lot invested over the years. Hardy, you haven't had to give up anything to get your shot.
That's fan pain, right?
I mean, honestly, you haven't given up a damn thing. You've sacrificed nothing in your life to get a shot at those Masters.
What has that guy sacrificed?
Money and time and personal investment into the team.
I do a Sports Hub Golf Club radio program that focuses on the Masters for several weeks out of the year, every year. I do nothing but pimp that tournament and talk up the players in the game. I'm growing the game. Does that guy grow the game of football? I grow the game.
No, Hardy, he bought 10
you know what I am?
After they went 1-15.
You know what I am, dum-dum? I'm a game. Dumb. I'm an influencer. I'm a golf influencer.
A tastemaker, if you will.
Yes! Even better. Like that. Influencer tastemaker. That's my sacrifice.
Yes, of course.
I feel so bad for
that guy's got it worse though.
That's depressing. Ten.
I just don't know what would possess you to, after a 1-15 season, say, you know what? This team's on the way up.
Faith.
I'm going to go buy 10 season tickets right now.
Probably Parcells.
No, he's 91.
No, I know that. But then you have to keep re-up, and then you hear Parcells is coming. Then, like, oh, my God, yeah.
His first year was 6-10, and then year two was 2-14, and he still didn't tap out. He didn't tap out, so. And then it was Parcells. And then it was Parcells.
Yeah. Then the place exploded. But Parcells not worthy of getting into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yes, not the Patriots.
2-14.
Yeah.
Oh. Man.
Who's getting inducted this year?
I think it's Matt Light.
It's Matt Light. That's right. It is Light. Redneck. The dude will bring a turkey. That's turkey. See, he'll be shooting them. Here comes Matt Light out of the floor, bottom floor CBS.
Yeah, Matt Light, who gets in before Seymour or Vrabel. Vrabel, I mean, okay, I can see there being a debate between Vrabel and Light. But out of those three, Richard Seymour is by far the best player. That's why I stopped taking this thing seriously.
Richard Seymour's a...
I've stopped taking this Hall of Fame ballot seriously because they leave it up to... The finalists are determined by a panel of media and people, you know, who've been around the team for a long time. The finalists that then get voted on by the fans, I've stopped taking it seriously. You're going to put Matt Light in? Nothing against Matt Light. Ahead of Richard Seymour? What are we doing here?
No.
Richard Seymour is a borderline Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Oh, I agree with that. Yellow jacket guy. Right. I've always said that. Vince Wilfork's a red jacket guy. Seymour, yellow jacket.
Why? Because he got traded? Is that why we... Do we forget what Richard Seymour was?
People viewed him as just an angry individual.
Yeah. Sure was.
Edge to him.
And that was awesome.
Yeah, he ripped heads off people.
I love that.
It's great.
Yeah, I loved his anger.
It's a cornerstone. You don't have to worry about that side of the defensive line. I got dominated games.
I don't know, 8 years for Richard Seymour, 4 conference titles,
he was here
3 Super Bowls, and he was...
See, I think if you look at Seymour's career, people will try to remember the part, like, he was only here, what, 4 years,
yeah.
He wanted to get paid.
First team All-Pro in 03, 04, and 05.
He's a bad guy. Wanted too much money. Didn't take less to be a Patriot. That's part of the problem. People view it that way. I thought Seymour was a fantastic player.
Mike in Dorchester has something for Hardy. Hardy, you might want to hear this.
Buddy. Mikey.
Mike, what do you have for Hardy?
I have 4 tickets to the practice round he can have. I won the lottery, but my wife just sprung that I'm going on a cruise the end of April. I can't use the tickets. I'd love to give them to whoever wants to use them.
Hardy, you've got an offer right now.
What are you scratching
for? Mike in Dorchester, who's got practice round tickets for you to go to the Masters. He won. He got the email that said, "We like you. You're not a loser."
When did you get your email, Mike?
Midweek last week.
Yeah, this guy's legit. That's
right around
time.
Like the 5th or something like that. I don't have the email in front of me, so I can't, it's on my email.
What kind of cool
what happened is I spent a week trying to put together a group. We're going to drive down, 4 of us, do the whole thing.
Writing down his number for you.
I don't understand. First of all, what cruise are you going on?
I'm going on a Viking cruise. My brother-in-law sprung this on the weekend. They were over the house on the weekend. They come up with the idea. My wife bought into it.
What if you?
I'm going on a Viking cruise.
Those Viking cruises are nice. They advertise those on Jeopardy every day.
Yeah, but they're not the Masters.
What if Hardy wants to go on a cruise with your wife? Hardy could do the cruise with your wife, and you could go to the Masters.
That's true. Maybe you can find a replacement for the cruise.
Sure, she's very nice. I don't want to go on a cruise. I'm good.
Cruise are
good. I'm going to take your number down, Mike. I'm going to call you. Thank you.
No problem. Okay. Hopefully we can work this out. You can have them.
Oh, what?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Mike. You're a hell of a nice guy.
Hear that last part? Put him on eBay.
Hear that last part? Hope we can work this out.
Well, yeah, he's going to worry. Yeah, of course.
So how do I got to take care of him?
You guys are going to discuss
it. Show up.
What do you think? He's going to hand him over to you? Like,
maybe
I like you, Hardy, so you're going to get them? No.
Have him
as a golf influencer and tastemaker? Yes. That would be in very good taste,
you're not
Mike.
Go. I can tell right now he's not going. You had too much anguish right there.
Yeah, I got his number. I wrote it down.
Then you start thinking, okay, what's a plane flight cost? Do I really want to stay at a Holiday Inn or a dumpy motel? Motel 6.
Pass it over to Hardy.
Do I want to...
Mike in Dorchester?
Oh, well, this is when I turn into a bit of a dink.
Why?
Yeah. Practice round.
That's... What are you... What kind of a-hole are you?
I'm being a jackass now. Wow.
I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him. I'm going to see what Mike
All right. Brandon in East Boston. Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
So my brother-in-law's father, a couple years in a row, he volunteered to work the tournament. The first year, he was working at a T-shirt stand, selling T-shirts for, a little over 4 hours, and a shift ended, and he got to watch the rest of the matches. He's actually a doctor, so the second year, he volunteered for the medical tent and didn't know that his shift was a lot longer than 4 hours. So we didn't really get to watch any of the matches. But, he volunteered to work with selling T-shirts and got to watch the matches.
So the way to get in
is to go to medical school and then volunteer to sell T-shirts.
Well, that
sounds like a lot of work.
I
really just want to do the application online.
I see Ken and Lowell on the line. He's got a golf story for us that he'd like to share. That's coming up next.
Oh, my God.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Still active, Bertrand. Ken is in Lowell. Ken, what do you got for us today?
Hey, Joel. Hey, Bingo. Hey, Hardy.
Hey.
Hi, Ken.
Just going down to Barnstable to do a seal coating job.
I'm sorry, where?
Barnstable.
Barnstable to do what?
A seal coating job.
A seal coating job today. Okay.
So kill the seals?
What are you, going over the bridge right now? It's windy. We're going to put you on hold there, Ken. We got a little problem with the reception.
Yeah, put your windows up, Ken. Put the windows up. Put the air on.
We'll try it again.
All right, here we go. All right, can you hear me now?
We can hear you
now. All right, so anyway, we're going down there, and I heard Hardy talking about the golf thing.
Yeah.
All right, so now here we are. We're going down, and my boss's house is right next to this golf course called Kumaquid or something like that, right? Hardy, you got to know this place.
Where is it?
Kumaquid?
Kumaquid or Kumaquid or something like that.
Kumachameleon?
Where is it
in
the
Yarmouth.
World?
It's in Yarmouth.
I was just in Yarmouth. I didn't see Kumaquid.
Is it Kumaquid?
No. Seriously, it's impossible. It's like 100 yards away from his house.
Okay.
But there's this one thing going on. There's this one hole. It actually crosses the street, and there's speed bumps. You know, like you only read about going on down there because of this. All right.
There's a parade.
Come outside. All right, hold on, just a minute. I'm having problems with the telephone here. Hold on.
Oh, you are?
Let me go over here. Oh. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, hear you great, Ken.
All right. The point is,
there's this
one time I was digging this hole down there. I'm working for my boss, and I found this golf ball. And in the shed, he's got a golf club. And I line up with this thing. I say, all right, let me see what I got going on here. And I don't know anything about golf. So I take a swing at it. Now, behind his house, there's a stone wall, and then there's a National Grid field, okay? And on the other side, the National Grid field is like 100 yards, right?
Yeah, and?
And on the other side of the National Grid field is another stone wall.
Now, where the hell is this going?
Did you do any seal coating yet before this?
Not yet. No, he's all right. Still driving.
All right. And the conclusion after all the walls and fields is what?
All right, so I take a swing, and I hit this thing, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going. Now, on the other side of the National Grid field, there's this house. All right.
So you hit the house.
Yeah, and the thing keeps going and going and going. And I hit the house. And the guy comes running out at me, and he says, and I ran away. You know, it's like when you hit a baseball and you break somebody's window, and then that's what the thing was. I ran away.
Yeah?
So now he comes up to my boss, and he says, dude, somebody just hit my house, and I'm hiding in the toilet. And
wait, where'd you get to, where'd you go to the toilet?
And so what was the end result here? What happened?
Well, they called the cops, and they talked to my boss, and he's like 67 years old, and they look at him and say, there's no way he's going to hit a golf ball 400 yards. All right? So that's
you're saying you you're saying all you right. found a random club in a shed
and you hit it 400
found
yards.
Found a golf ball in a hole and proceeded to hit that ball 400 yards with never taking a swing at a golf club before.
Exactly. And only miniature golf was the only thing I ever did, and that's the only thing I know about golf, Hattie.
Yeah, that's plenty. It sounds like you have it mastered in your first attempt.
Legendary. Nah.
Goddamn.
I mean, Kuma quid or Kuma quid or something like that.
I think it's Kuma quid.
I just Googled it. The address, 35 Marston's Lane, Yarmouth, Port, Mass.
Oh, nice place.
Yeah. Hold on, just a minute.
It is on the Barnstable.
I'm having problems with the telephone here. Hold on, let me go over
telephone?
Here. Can you guys hear me now?
It's right off of 6A.
Did Dan leave?
Somebody just hit my house, and I'm hiding in the toilet.
I told you this, honest to God story.
Hiding in the toilet.
Honest to God, true story. Speaking of golf here and finding golf balls.
What are we doing?
My buddies used to come over, like Rucci and his guys played, and we used to just get, you know, chipping balls, range balls, and hit them over the trees in my backyard. I got a nice big backyard, but there's houses down over there. And there was one Halloween, a lady shows up at my door with her kid trick-or-treating, and she's got a bag of golf balls.
Oh,
and she goes, here's all your golf balls back.
Oh, no.
I go, what are you talking about? She goes, don't play coy. You guys pelted my house all the time with golf balls. And all I could say was, I'm sorry.
Did you know there was a house back there?
Yeah.
Oh, so you knew
but
it.
But, I mean, we weren't trying to hit the house. We were trying to shoot them up over the trees. We got high trees in the back.
You bring Ken over. He'll sail the trees, the house. He'll send them over into Rhode Island. Yeah. 400 yards away.
My house, and I'm hiding in the toilet.
Right.
400 yards.
400 yards.
He didn't even know what kind of club he hit. Found it.
Yeah, Hottie, I was only on a golf course once. I broke my leg, though. I fell off the ball washer. Hello? Can you hear me?
Brad's in Lincoln. Brad.
Yeah.
Fall that.
Yeah.
Your turn, Brad.
All right. I wanted to tell you that Super Bowl lottery for the Patriots.
Yes.
That's the biggest mystery in sports, but I won it. Season ticket holder since 97. I would be like that other guy. I would check in every time they went. Just to be incredibly disappointed, and then one time it popped up that I won.
Which one did you win?
I went to Seattle.
Oh
wow. Nice.
Good one.
Yeah.
Good one. Right. One to go to.
Good.
Mm.
But the way it works is...
random. It's a lottery.
Well, yeah, but so how many ever seats you have times how many ever number of years you have the seats is how many raffle tickets you get. So the fact that guy has, 30 years,
that's 300 chances every time.
If I'm him, I would never go to a casino or never play the lottery.
Right, so I had two tickets for, let's call it 20 years, and I won, and he didn't. And they never tell you how many are available. See, that's the biggest trick, right?
Either
they
way,
don't
though.
Say, oh, there's 3,000 tickets or there's 5,000 tickets. But I actually framed the screenshot of me winning it. Because that's worth its price in gold right there.
That's nice. That's nice.
It's like Hardy's frames his rejection letter every year.
No, I do.
So he could throw rocks at it.
Hardy's got an offer now to go to the Masters from Mike in Dorchester.
Yeah, I'm going to call Mike in really Dorchester. I'm going to find out. I'll pay him for the tickets. I think the practice round tickets are $75 each. So I'm in for, $300 for the four tickets. Maybe he'll sell me to him, but what else does he want? It's going to be some back and forth, I'm
he
sure.
He some anguish here. I just, for somebody that's
because
so
I wanted,
giddy about doing something,
because I
and
wanted
an offer's finally given to you, you're like...
But here's the thing. I wanted to go...
For the real one.
No, not the real one. I mean, I would, yes.
Like somebody telling you I got that. Patriots preseason tickets, you could have them.
I could go any year I wanted. I've got buddies who do it. You plop down $2,000 or $3,000. It's a whole package, right?
Yeah.
You get a night at the, you know, at the crap-ass Augusta... Motel 6.
You get free breakfast.
You get, you know, your continental breakfast. You get a shuttle ride over, and you get your grounds pass.
$3
you
can pimento do it. Sandwich?
Yeah, but yeah.
Egg
but
salad?
I mean, I could do it, but there's a certain purity to doing it, you know, just through the actual tournament itself. You understand what I'm saying?
I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I do. I understand. Official passes that were issued to you.
Yes.
I get it.
Yes. I just expected a different reaction from our buddy. Yeah.
All right. Coming up at 12:50, we will play the anthem renditions. Oh. Don't say anything.
I crushed it.
Did you kill it?
Killed it.
I did not.
American.
I did not kill it.
And you don't love that music, man. That song.
Newfound
respect.
Brings
out something in me.
Hard to reach up to the mic when you're kneeling like that, huh?
What does that mean, Hardy?
It means you kneel for the anthem.
I don't kneel for the anthem.
I don't even know what that meant. I'm like, what?
Jackass.
God bless our gracious king or something like that.
Beatles, not Beatles, only that. Beatles lives in the most patriotic freaking city in the country.
That is a stolen joke. No, first of all, it's not original.
That's such disrespect.
He stole it from Tom, number one, is what he did. Tom made that joke because he's one of those MAGA guys, you know. So it's if you support any of the NFL players, now you're also the guy who kneels for the anthem, which I have never been, which I would never do
Beatles
ever in my life.
Right.
Just seems like if you love this country so much, you should have been able to sing the anthem. I guess we'll find out when we hear your rendition.
We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning.
Yeah, we're doing so much winning. All right, here's Hardy with headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Come on, Michael.
Red Sox will try and go for their 10th straight win tonight with David Price on the mound. He'll oppose Marco Estrada in the first of four against the Blue Jays. Price, by the way, 9-6 on the year with a 4.44 ERA. He'll oppose Estrada of the Blue Jays, who's got a 4-7 record and a 4.72 earned run average. Sox got the 4-2 win last night to sweep the Rangers out of Fenway Park. World Cup action, it was Croatia getting the late goal to beat England yesterday 2-1. They'll take on France in the final on Sunday. Celtics off yesterday. Today they begin the single elimination phase of Summer League. They take on the Knicks this afternoon in Las Vegas. And Serena Williams will once again be in the Wimbledon final. She defeated Julia Georges in straight sets. She goes for an 8th Wimbledon victory. Headlines are brought to you by MIFA. Refinance your student debt with a MIFA refi loan at MIFA.org/refi. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
So at the Beatle. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Chris Sale was excellent last night. Brilliant, you may say. In a win over the Texas Rangers at Fenway Park.
I missed that. Was that 98 miles per hour or was that 98.5 miles per hour? Because didn't Ian Brown tweet something that you retweeted? A little shout out to Felger and Maslin, Sports Hub.
He did. I think it was, I don't think it was him, though.
No, it was Kimbrel, I think, later.
Yeah, it was Kimbrel.
Yeah.
Later in the game.
98. Everybody said 98.
It was clocked at 98.5, he said.
Amazing.
I'll read you the tweet. Some anxious moments there, but Kimbrel made the pitch he had to blowing Gallo away on heat, 98.5, in honor of our pals Felger and Mass. which begs the 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, retweet. That's good.
Everyone knew what I meant by that, too.
Of course they did.
It's our last day here, though. Last day in
it's our last. That's
it's
right.
Only,
I'm here tomorrow.
Appropriate that we play that once. Today.
You're out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here tomorrow with. Oh God! Could you imagine?
Right, last day us together. Is what
could
I
you imagine if David Price craps the bed tonight and I got Jones tomorrow with me? Oh, we'll have a field day.
So he goes to the mound tonight. Sale was great last night. The only issue I have was once again the eighth inning is a problem for this team. That was looking like a very clean type of win last night for the Red Sox, and of course they end up getting in trouble because the eighth inning is such a disaster. They can't even protect the 4-0 lead that Sale gives them going into the eighth. I mean, they did, but they put it in danger. They had to go to their closer, Craig Kimbrel, for four outs last night. They shouldn't have to be put in a position where Sale pitches seven shutout innings, strikes out a dozen guys, you're up 4-0, and then you need your closer for four outs? That's a night where you shouldn't even have to worry about bringing that guy into the game.
First 2 months of the season. Didn't they lose three really good Chris Sale starts?
Yes.
Could you imagine how good this guy's record would actually be if they took care of business in those games?
But last night's not like a run support issue.
No.
Last night you were up 4-0.
I'm just talking about a win-loss. You know, because we look at his record and think, oh, okay, this and that. But he's got great ERA. You want to say, boy, that's your Red Sox moment right there.
What do you think happens tonight with Price?
I have no clue.
I mean, how do you predict this anymore?
You can't. You can't anymore.
No idea.
So now all of a sudden, I mean, it was Pedroia that fixed the leg kick, right? Wasn't it like a couple years ago, Dustin Pedroia said, you're not raising your knee?
Yeah, it worked out great. Yeah, brilliant.
Well, then he was good for a stretch, and then now all of a sudden he's locating again. So Shaughnessy asked him, did you fix the problem? Yep. You know what it was? Yep. You going to tell us? Nope. I mean, I don't know what to expect tonight. I really don't. He could go out and pitch a three hit, get out of there in 7 innings and pretty much do what Chris Sale did last night. Or he could leave in 3 innings. I don't know. And I wouldn't be shocked by either. Because they're not playing a really good team. So he should be pretty good. This isn't Murderer's Row. This isn't the Yankee lineup. But I have no clue what to expect tonight with Price. I go into this with zero expectations. Yankees, I knew he was going to get shelled. Because they own him. They're in his head.
Okay. Well, tonight's not the Yankees. Tonight's a bad team.
What if he gets shelled tonight? What would you say tomorrow? If he gets shelled tonight,
I'd like to say,
you were here.
Okay, he figured it out. We take him at his word. He's got the Rangers to do it against. The night after Sale was so good. This is set up to be the night where he straightens it out. Is it not?
Yeah.
Is it home?
Yeah.
He should straighten it out tonight. No excuses.
Good weather, perfect conditions.
Oh, perfect. Gorgeous night.
Hand shouldn't feel too cold.
Everything should go his way.
Right.
So he'll have no excuse. Not that he had an excuse against the Royals.
I just don't know from a makeup standpoint if he has that. That's, does it bug him? Does he need this? I mean, you're heading into the All-Star break. Don't you want to feel good about yourself? Doesn't the team want to feel good about you? You look at these two pitchers and how we view and how we feel about Chris Sale in these last 10 games that he's pitching, how good he's been, and how you feel about him going to the All-Star break. You feel completely the other way about David Price. And not to say Price could fix that with one start, but you could start the process of, you know what, you're going to have to be damn good in the second half, and you're going to be an important part of what we are and where we need to be and how good you need to be to get us there.
I think David Price gave one of his better interviews. He always comes off better in print, by the way. Right? When you can just read the words and not necessarily focus on the tone, he comes off better when he's in print. Dan Shaughnessy said to him, I know you talked to John Morosi a little about this. Any chance you could opt out of your contract with the Red Sox at the end of this year? Price, I'm not going to sit here and say there's 0% chance when there's always a chance of anything. But that's nothing that I'm thinking about or putting any thought to or talking to anyone else about. I expect to win, and I expect to do that here.
Huh. Good answer. That's what you want.
Great answer. It feels honest because of that first part. Listen, I'm not going to tell you it's zero. Anything is possible. But that's not my thought.
He shouldn't be thinking about that right now. He really shouldn't.
It's the most concise answer that's sort of to the point and carries some thought to it. I just think it's a good answer. One of the best I've ever seen him give.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't hate Boston because I've never said I've hated Boston or had a problem with the fans. So he doesn't hate the city or hate the fans. That leaves me to believe he hates the media, which is fine. I would say, okay, maybe you don't hate Boston. Are you happy in Boston?
No, that answer's no.
Right. Are you happy here? What does make you happy? Says he does not wish he signed anywhere else. Shaughnessy said that was it for our interview. Price was professional, polite, and direct. I thanked him for his time and went upstairs to watch the Red Sox knock around the Rangers 4-2 for their 9th straight victory. Red Sox have not lost since Price was routed in Yankee Stadium on July 1st.
Oh, God. It's so set up for him to do poorly tonight. Like everything, I guarantee you pull everybody calls. I don't think anybody expects him to be really good tonight. I think people would say this is trending downward. Lack of control that he showed against Kansas City, plunking 3 guys in 1 inning. I mean, this is trending poorly for him. I'd sort of, I want to re-answer that question you asked me, what do you expect tonight? I'd sort of be shocked if he goes out and pitches really, really well tonight.
I expect it to be mediocre. For some reason, I never am, but I know not to expect that.
Yeah, like, give up 3 runs, get through 6 2/3, I don't know, somewhere in there. but not be great, not be wild, not be like, wow, Chris Sale, another game where you struck out 11 or more batters. No. Like when Sale pitches, you expect 13, 12, 11, 14 strikeouts in one game. You don't do that with Price. Completely different pitcher. I don't know. Can't wait to be here with Jones, though, if it goes poorly.
I know what you're doing tonight. You're rooting against Price. Oh, that's God, what you yeah. do.
That's what I do.
You root against Price.
Yeah. Get shelled tonight.
Yeah, so you want him to get shelled.
Yes.
It's sick. You know that?
That's my thing.
It's sick.
What do you want to do? Sick.
Shaughnessy, you know what I think Shaughnessy is secretly rooting for? Price to suck and get booed. He keeps bringing this up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He brought this up again in the column.
What do you think? Dan's bored right now. Teams Price. Winning and crushing people.
I know, there's not.
Dan wrote that article the other day.
Year, I get it.
He's doing a circuit. He's on every TV show now.
He says Price has never been booed loudly in Boston. He's never heard any noise like that which was showered on Sonny Gray when Gray was routed by the Red Sox in New York.
He's setting you up.
I mean, he brought this up with us, the Sonny Gray thing. He's brought it up multiple times. It's like he's wishing to see the moment when David Price gets booed in Boston.
Well, I've saved them all up for October, you know.
There it is.
It is. It's like he's wishing for it.
Yeah. Makes his job easier.
Coming up next, we will get to the anthem renditions. The Bruins are looking for a new anthem singer.
Oh, we may have found not only one, we may have found three.
I'll tell you who's not getting the job. That's me. That's for sure. That's coming
up
next.
You let yourself down, huh?
Yeah, bad.
Wow.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, shit.
Looking for anthem singers. They're going to hold tryouts and auditions now that Renee is retired. We've got our submissions. You can upload your clips at bostonbruins.com/anthem is the website. I'm going to just double check that. Make sure I have the right. I think it's bostonbruins.com. Yes. bostonbruins.com/anthem.
So was it Nashville a couple of years ago that had the same guy doing most of the anthem singing, and when it came time to the playoffs, they said, "So long, Sailor," and they started bringing a bunch of
crappy country acts
to do it instead.
The guy got all pissed off, right?
Yeah,
he wanted more money?
Yeah. And he just wanted to do it. Just wanted to sing. I've been singing all season.
Now I'm not good enough?
Yeah. All right, who do we want to play first? We went in the studio and did this.
It doesn't matter as long as Beatles is last.
Okay,
go ahead.
Go Hardy first, then.
This is our audition.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave?
All right, minute 20 seconds. That fits in the 90-second requirement.
All right.
Nice.
You sound like a monk. Or like one of those chanting monks.
Chanting
okay.
Yeah.
Some right. man. It's like some guy in right. immense choir at a church.
That's fine.
Like you go down St. John's the Episcopal or Roman Catholic Church down there, and
There's Hardy with his little tie and his little book out, singing hymns and verses and proverbs.
That's my audition. All right. I want the gig.
It's pretty good.
Hallelujah.
Thanks, Beetle.
You sing differently than you talk. It just sounds...
Well, it's my voice. Your voice is my voice like, is an instrument.
You could be a priest also.
You make it sound however you
sounds
want.
Like a priest. Rise for the blessing.
You know, Charlie Parker's, whatever he played didn't sound the same every time. Trumpet, maybe? Could have been a sax. Hallelujah. We're not sure. Scholars have debated for years. But, it changed.
I didn't feel like America when you sang it, though.
Oh, I'm
it
sure.
It just felt like somebody like, doing a cover
when you sing it?
A little bit.
Okay.
All right, Zoe's next.
Hi, yeah. What's up, America? What's going on? Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars are bitches through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watch were so gladly there streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air. Damn right, gave proof through the fight that our flag was still there. Oh, say does this star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Nice.
Yes.
Woo! They should play that at a NASCAR event.
Couple of lyrical issues.
Yeah, a couple, but... still better than mine.
There's a key change. There was an octave change.
All right.
I went in there. I was legitimately nervous doing this. I don't know why.
Well, let's see how it sounded.
You just did it dry.
We just all did it dry. There's no effects. There's no anything. You're just singing into a mic with a totally, totally quiet room. Beetle, maybe it's not as bad as you thought it was.
No, I'm sure it was. It's bad.
Oh, say can you see the dawn's early light,
good,
what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars. Oh, say can you
start over? Wait, you ended this.
By the dawn's early light, what so proud?
I'm like nervous. I can't do it. That was
see?
It.
I give people credit now.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't know.
I got nervous.
Nervous.
I do that right in the middle of Brandy when I sing it live with a band.
I got nervous.
I know all the words of Brandy, and then all of a sudden you go up there and you sing it live with the band, and I forget the third verse completely.
I could
it.
Never do that in front of a crowd ever, 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 ever.
It's not easy.
Devin tweets: if you held a gun to my head and asked me to pick one of these anthem renditions, I'd say pull the trigger. I could never in a...
can you see by the time...
Oh, this is Tom playing Roseanne because he likes Roseanne. He thinks she's like some sort of friggin' American hero or something.
Right.
Yeah.
At least she finished it.
It's a good point, Tom.
Josh on Twitter...
There.
Josh, what?
Josh on Twitter said, usually when Zoe ad-libs a song, there's a moon reference. No moon reference in his anthem audition.
You stick to lyrics there, man. No disrespect.
But I could never sing that in front of a crowd. Could never do it. I'd clam up. I wouldn't be able to do it. I just can't do it. Mental block. Couldn't even do it in a room by myself. Roger.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know.
It sounds like that noise. You know when Ferris Bueller's mother opens the door and he's like not in bed and he's rolling over and you get the string.
I can never do it.
Oh, yeah.
I can never in a million years do that. You know, I was at the Garden for the tournament when the college games were here in March.
Nice.
They had a girl who was probably like 10 or 12 who sang it and was not only incredible at doing it, but I'm just thinking, I'm like, I would be shaking in my boots right now doing this if I were anybody singing the anthem.
You understand why people screwed up.
Who gets up there in front of 19,000 people and like hits it out of the park. Like, you know, drains a three, if you want to use a sports analogy for hoops.
Make
like,
it rain.
No problem.
You blew it.
Makes it rain on the anthem.
God bless our gracious king or something like that.
Yes. Mike is in Boston. Mike.
Mike.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make sure. Can you hear me? Hello?
We got you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that everyone was standing and saluting while all these renditions are going on.
Oh, we
this country.
You know what?
You know what? You're right.
Wait, why does saluting have to be in there?
I'm protesting 98.5 right now, Ben.
No, and you're right to do so. Thank you for calling us out. We
sat in our seats.
We sat on our fat asses and let the anthem play 2.5 times without ever thinking of getting up. Because we thought our radio show was more important.
Raheem in Lexington. Raheem.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
I literally fell off a 6-foot ladder while painting, listening to Zoe's rendition. Dude, that had me dying. Dude, if Zoe, if you could even do one game throughout the season, I will buy all the guys on my hockey team tickets just so we can watch you. That was funny.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Get back to that paint. I appreciate that. You know what? Playoff game.
Thank God it was only a 6-foot
ladder. Divisional round playoff game.
Thank God it was only a 6-foot ladder.
Give me a flyover.
Good thing you weren't up on a roof.
Yeah.
I do that, and then you have a flyover, and I'm doing that in front of a crowd at the divisional game. Get back up in a booth. I'd be snapping out.
Who's broad stripes? Ours, bitches.
Yeah.
Lee and Quincy. Lee.
That was amazing. That was awesome.
You're lying.
Thank you, Lee.
It was so good. You sounded awesome. That was awesome.
Oh, thank you, Lee. Thank you. Well, really I love America, Beatle. Yeah, not so much.
Hardy's too, like, you know what I mean? Sound like a man from a men's choir. Glee Club.
It was awesome. I was super impressed. I was waiting for a crack. It was perfect. So I think the funniest part, though, for me was when Beatle, when you were leading the criteria, you're like, comfortable? Like, what do you mean comfortable? I don't understand what that means. Like, you just be nervous. Like,
the level of comfort.
Right.
Yes. I didn't know what they meant by that. I'm like, what do you mean level of comfort? What do they mean?
You know now.
They mean level, the singer, the level of comfort singing the song. Like, are you relaxed? Do you have the shakes? I have the yips. I can't do this.
I put on a red, white, and blue shirt.
I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Now I know exactly what they mean.
Sure do.
Yeah, you could count me out right now.
Professional musician, constant listener, Joe Siders, drummer for New Pornographers, said it was ballsy what we did, and well done. It is. You put yourself out there like that. And I think we're the real heroes today, even though we forgot to stand up when we were playing them back.
Now, did you know that at certain venues, I won't say which ones, or all of them, they record the anthem ahead of the actual singing of the anthem? Many hours before the game.
I should.
Yeah, and now you know. That's another part of why they do that.
Yeah.
Well, they've done it for a lot of the Super Bowls. I don't know if every single one.
Regular season, my friend. Regular season.
Let's say, I don't think they'd do it at Bruins games.
Well, they've got a professional singer that is used to doing the anthem and does it on a nightly basis, so they wouldn't have to do it there.
Doesn't seem like they do it at Red Sox games.
I don't know about that, actually. I'm not sure.
Celtics games, I think it's live. I've been there and heard a little variation here or there.
I know of one league that makes sure that they record them ahead of time to make sure they go smoothly, and I don't blame them for it.
Oof.
I wouldn't blame any sport for recording it. And making sure they get a nice, clean copy of it so that everyone's sounding good. It's an important song. People get nervous. Yep. People get nervous with crowds, all of that. I get nervous and I'm by myself. Nervous.
I don't know if you're going to get the gig, Beatle.
I'm definitely not getting the gig. I have more respect than I already did for the people that can stand in front of those large crowds and sing like that.
Thanks. Thanks, Beatle.
Good job, Hardy. It's a little still, though. Like, you didn't add inflection to it.
I didn't say bitches.
You didn't jazz it up. You know,
right.
Zoe had flair. Yeah, pieces of flair in his hand.
He kind of Fergie it a little bit.
No, part of it is playing the crowd. Playing the crowd.
90 seconds, no commercials. Here's Hardy with headlines.
Can you see?
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station.